A lot of different things, really. I mean, the most practical one was that we were both journalists and we were just looking for, I don't know, a new adventure, I guess, an interesting story to get our teeth into. And behind that was also the fact that we'd only recently got married and we thought, hey, you know, let's just go and do something really great, really fun, really different. And, you know, so the journalistic thing pushed us into an area like the Middle East.
Just going back to when you arrived there, how were you and your husband received as Australians into the Lebanese community?
We were welcomed with incredible warmth and generosity. It really threw us both off guard. We arrived before September 11, and so it was still a time when Australia's sort of motivations politically weren't known that well around the world. So you could still say, hey, I'm an Australian, and people would go, oh, great beaches and I love your wildlife. You know, it was only sort of after that September 11 period when Australia threw its hat into the ring with the United States and Britain in the war against Iraq that people started to think of us in a more political way. But in those early months, there was incredible warmth in the way that we were received, and also because so many Lebanese live in Australia or have relatives in Australia, and I was always catching taxis or going to cafes and people would be saying to me, oh, my uncle's lived in Sydney for 20 years or my nephew just moved there a few years ago. So a lot of people felt that they had a connection with Australia themselves.
When you said they started to think of you more politically, how did their treatment of you change?
Yeah, well, this is another thing that I found quite humbling. I often find in the West we're very ready to criticise people based on a nationality or based on a religion and then say, well, if you are from that country, you must be like this. Whereas the people in the Middle East always question you very closely about your personal views. That might be because so many of them have lived with dictatorships of one kind or another, and so they realise that a government doesn't necessarily speak for its people. And so we found that people would ask us questions. Yes, they would say, you know, what's your view? What do you think? Why is your country involved? Without criticising us directly. It was more just trying to work out our views and our opinions, and the relationship would proceed based on what we personally thought rather than what our government was doing.
The Australian media paints a picture of Lebanon as a dry, dusty Middle Eastern city where suicide bombings and war is a part of daily life. Ms. Taylor says she wrote the book to break down these myths.
Lebanon is almost completely the opposite to that. And it was something, you know, I wasn't fully prepared for because I'd travelled everywhere in the world but never the Middle East. And in fact, Lebanon is a really mountainous country and it's got the Mediterranean Sea running right along one of its coastlines. So it's a very European country in a way. They look very strongly towards Europe for influence. So, you know, it's a place where you go out to dinner very late, sort of 9, 10 o'clock at night. They have fantastic restaurants and bars and cafes overlooking the water. So it's really the opposite of that kind of Middle Eastern cliche of yeah, deserts and camels and things like that. And of course, you know, with Lebanon, you've always got this idea of violence and conflict hovering in the background. But when we arrived, it was a very hopeful time.
Despite some Australians believing women in the Muslim world face discrimination and restricted rights, Ms. Taylor says Lebanon showed her something else.
It's a kind of interesting place to be a woman because it is so Western, especially in Beirut. It's an amazing city because you can walk just a few streets in one or other direction and the entire landscape will change. So you can be down by the beach in a tiny little bikini and high-heeled shoes drinking a glass of champagne, and then you can catch a taxi 10 minutes in the opposite direction and you can be surrounded by very conservative Shiite women who are covered heavily and would never touch alcohol. So there's a lot of extremes in Beirut, and that makes it a fascinating place to live and also an easy place to live because you can be yourself. And look, I was always respectful. I was never the kind of person that would turn up in a conservative neighbourhood dressed, you know, in a way that I thought would offend or shock. And I just felt, look, it's not my place to judge these things, and this is the way people behave in this area, and so I'll respect that. I wasn't confrontational in any way, and I'm sure that that made it easier for me.
You had somewhat of a unique experience. You found yourself pregnant in Beirut. Tell us what it was like to give birth over there.
Yeah, well, when I first fell pregnant, I think Matthew and I looked at each other and thought, well, quick, we better book a plane home. But I was able to find myself a really lovely doctor, and he trained at one of Lebanon's best hospitals and then also done some postgraduate training in the States. And he was affiliated with a hospital that, you know, I felt was good. And so I thought, well, you know, being pregnant and giving birth isn't a unique condition in a country like Lebanon where so many babies are born and families are big. So we, as my pregnancy progressed, we sort of felt more and more comfortable and we decided to stay. And I think I had a good experience and I had good care and my little girl's, she was well cared for and well looked after.